Are you a discerning person, or can you be easily deceived? Let's find out. Here's Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Do you realize we're living in days of deception? The devil has his emissaries, his wolves in sheep's clothing that go out and deceive. Paul said they disguise themselves as angels of light, but they're not angels of light. They're ministers of darkness, and they deceive. And so the devil comes at the truth to try and pull people astray from the truth. And God says in these last days, we need to be discerning.
Since the days of the Garden of Eden, one of the devil's chief tools has been deception. So, how can the Christian be on guard against Satan's trickery? This is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve. Thank you for joining us today on the broadcast as we'll open up Scripture to learn how and why we must endure these days of deception with a clean heart and a keen insight into what is right and what is wrong. The lesson today we're about to hear is from Pastor Jeff's 9-lesson series, For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. So if possible, open your Bible now to 1 John chapter 3 as we get started with a message that will surely enlighten you about the defenses you'll need in these days of deception. Here again is Pastor Jeff.
I heard about two young boys. They were walking through the woods. And one boy was pretty naive, and as they're walking through the woods, they come across some rabbit droppings. And the one little boy, the naive little boy, he didn't know what that was. And so he said to his friend, he said, "Look at that. What do you think those are?" His friend said to him, "Those are smart pills." He said, "Smart pills?" He said, "Yeah, those are smart pills. You eat those and you'll be smarter." And he said, "Well, I ought to try some." And so he reached down and he popped a couple into his mouth. They weren't in his mouth, but a second or two. And he spit them out and he said, "Those are horrible. They taste like poop." He said, "See, you're getting smarter already." It's not nice to deceive. And it's not nice to be deceived. We're in a series called For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light. Today, we want to talk about the days of deception. Do you realize we're living in days of deception? The Bible says concerning our adversary, the devil, that he is a liar and the father of lies, that he is a deceiver. The scripture says in Revelation chapter 12, he deceives the whole world. Now, deception is one, that's the way he gets his work done. That's what he did to Eve. Remember, she said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate of the fruit that you have commanded us not to eat." In First John chapter 3, he says to his readers, "Little children," verse 7, "let no one deceive you." Now, the devil deceives. The devil has his emissaries, his wolves in sheep's clothing that go out and deceive. Paul said they disguise themselves as angels of light, but they're not angels of light. They're ministers of darkness, and they deceive. The word deceive is an interesting word. It literally means seduce with error, to cause to wander from the truth, to go astray, to stray from orthodoxy. Orthodoxy, which is right belief and right practice. And so the devil comes at the truth to try and pull people astray from the truth. And God says in these last days, we need to be discerning. Don't believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God. In these days, the Bible says in the last days, one of the marks of the last days is apostasy. What's apostasy? That's a falling away from the faith. That's a departure from orthodoxy. That's being deceived and not knowing the truth and starting to embrace error. It says, Paul says that Timothy preached the word because the time's going to come when men won't receive the truth. They'll turn away from the truth and they'll turn to myths. They'll want to have their ears tickled. They want to feel good and they want to go to the feel-good church and not the church that tells them the truth. And I believe that we are in those days, and we are seeing before our own eyes apostasy and men straying from the truth. Men, women, boys, and girls straying from the truth. Churches straying from the truth. I had a man come up to me Wednesday night, and he said, I'm thinking about joining your church. And I said, oh, yeah, that'd be great. I said, where do you go to church? And he mentioned his church here in town. And I said, oh, yeah. I said, well, why are you thinking of leaving that church? He said, because I was told that the new pastor coming in is a homosexual. And he said, I can't be at a church like that. I said, well, good for you. I couldn't be at a church like that either. Days of apostasy, days of deception. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20 says this, woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who substitute darkness for light and light for darkness, who substitute bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Now, I want you to think about that. Woe to those who call good evil and evil good. Now, good and evil are poles apart, but in days of deception, you can't tell the difference between good and evil. In days of deception, you can't tell the difference between light and darkness. You can't tell the difference between bitter and sweet. And the devil is a master liar, a master liar. And just as we saw in Genesis chapter 3, if you engage in dialogue with the devil as Eve did, he can turn you into a pretzel, and he can make you think up is down and right is wrong and left is right. He is great at deceiving people, and he's very cunning, and he's very sly, and he was at work in the early church, and John writes the epistle of 1 John to combat heresy that had come into the church, heresy that was attacking the church. Heresy concerning the person of Christ, concerning the work of Christ, concerning the subject of redemption. And so John writes this in 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 4. Everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. And you know that he appeared in order to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has seen him or knows him. Little children, let no one deceive you. The one who practices righteousness is righteous, just as he is righteous. The one who practices sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The Son of God appeared for this purpose, that he might destroy the works of the devil. No one who is born of God practices sin, because his seed abides in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. By this, the children of God and the children of the devil are obvious. Anyone who does not practice righteousness is not of God, nor the one who does not love his brother. Now, John says the reason that he wrote his letter in John chapter 5, he said, he who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know, K-N-O-W, that you have eternal life. He wrote so that the people would know, and he wrote so that they would be able to recognize the difference between the true and the false, between the professors and the actual possessors, between the true Christians and the pretenders. Now, as we said, the devil is a deceiver. He is a liar, and he lies about the biggest subject, and the biggest subject is God, and he lies about the biggest need, and the biggest need is salvation for you and for me. The biggest need that we have is to know God and be connected with God and be able to live forever with God. So he attacks on those two points. And I want to share with you two discoveries from the scripture that we read, two discoveries concerning these days of deception. Discovery number one, the devil works to deceive regarding true salvation. He doesn't want you to know what true salvation is, so he works hard, he works overtime to deceive regarding true salvation. I love the passage in Acts chapter 13, where Paul, first missionary journey, Paul and Barnabas, they're on the island of Cyprus, and they're witnessing to a guy and preaching to a guy named Sergius Paulus, who was a big shot there. And Sergius Paulus has a magician who is kind of like his ally, his right-hand man. And as Paul is sharing the gospel with Sergius Paulus, this magician, his name is Elymas, he is arguing with Paul because he does not want his master, Sergius Paulus, to believe the gospel. And Paul says this to him, in Acts chapter 13, verse 10, he says, "You who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil," the son of the devil does the work of the devil, "you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked," that means to distort, pervert, corrupt, "the straight ways of the Lord." When you think about that verse, what Paul said to that guy, and he called him a son of the devil, well, what the son of the devil does is what the father does, the father devil. He doesn't cease to make crooked, to corrupt, to convert, to pervert, to distort the straight ways of God. That's what the devil is doing today in our world today. He's trying to get people to not understand the straight ways of the things of God. He doesn't cease to make crooked the ways of the Lord.
And as Pastor Jeff Shreve has pointed out, we must be very discerning about the tricks of the devil in these days of deception. And that's also the name of the message from His Heart today. And Pastor Jeff Shreve will be back in just a moment to explore more about how the devil seeks to throw confusion on the truth regarding salvation. Stay with us. We're in Pastor Jeff Shreve's exciting and enlightening 9-lesson series this month called "For Such a Time as This, How to Overcome the Darkness by Living in the Light." And the main emphasis in this series is to remind us that God wants us to be bold in our witness, no matter the cost. God wants us to make a difference for Christ. He wants us to rise above the fear and step out in faith. How are you doing with that part of your Christian walk? Well, we can and should increase our bold witness in these days of deception. And if you'd like to dig deeply into this subject and grow in your walk and your talk with Christ, this series is available online at fromhisheart.org. Or you can call 866-40-BIBLE, 866-40-BIBLE, to get your copy of "For Such a Time as This," either on CDs, an MP3 download, or USB flash drive. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org and click the listen link. Also this month, our special gift of support for any amount to From His Heart is Pastor Jeff's powerful series, Foundations, that delivers eye-opening messages about 5 foundational pillars that need to be upheld in the days of deception. Also, when you give this month, we'll send you the popular booklet, How to Be Sure You're Going to Heaven. Remember, when you give, Pastor Jeff is a volunteer for this ministry, and he's also a regular monthly supporter as well. Everything you give goes to sustain and grow our outreach while there still is the ability to broadcast the unhindered gospel of Christ, at least in America, now. Again, call 866-40-BIBLE or go to fromhisheart.org and request this empowering series, Foundations, when you make your gift today. God bless you for that. Now let's get back to part one of the message called Days of Deception from the series, For Such a Time as This.
One of the big things that the devil does when he tries to get people to misunderstand true salvation, he says, we need to quit talking about this thing called sin. The devil wants to take sin out of the equation. And so that the church just becomes a place where sin is rampant and sin is never discussed, and the devil likes it like that. He is the enemy of all righteousness. Now, John makes it very clear in his epistle concerning sin. Sin is huge. Sin is a major, major, major part of salvation. John says this in 1 John chapter 1, verses 8 and 10. If we say that we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Sin is really important when it comes to salvation. And John makes it clear, why did Jesus come? He came to take away sin. So if you don't talk about sin in the church, then you're not talking about the thing that the Lord came to do. The ministry of the Holy Spirit, Jesus said, when he comes, he will convict of sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Concerning righteousness, because he is righteous, just as the scripture said here, there is no sin in him. And concerning judgment, what's the concerning judgment? Concerning judgment means, as a sinner, if you don't do something about your sin, the righteous one is going to judge you. It is a terrifying thing, the Bible says, to fall into the hands of the living God. When Jonathan Edwards preached that sermon in the 1700s, Sinners in the Hand of the Angry God, the people were falling out in the aisles, crying out for God's mercy. Why? Because they saw that they were sinners and they needed forgiveness and they needed God's mercy. Now you mark this down. True salvation requires repentance from sin. True salvation requires repentance from sin. No one ever gets saved apart from repentance and faith. I like what the scripture says concerning the ministry of the Lord Jesus in Mark chapter 1. It says this, "And after John the Baptist, had been taken into custody, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God, the good news of God, and saying, 'The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel.'" That's what Jesus was preaching. He was preaching, telling men to repent and believe in the gospel. Now, repentance. In the Greek New Testament, metanoia, it means to change your mind. Change your mind concerning what you think about yourself. You know, most people, I'm a pretty good person. Yeah, I feel like I'm pretty good. If I were to die and stand before God, why should God let me into heaven? I would just say, well, you know, Lord, I'm a pretty good person. I do this and I do that and I do the other. No, repentance says that you change your mind concerning yourself. And all of a sudden, you don't see yourself as a good person. You see yourself as a sinner before God. You change your mind concerning sin. You change your mind concerning self. You change your mind concerning the Savior. He is the righteous one. He and he alone is the righteous one. And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved. Now, that's the New Testament definition of repentance, metanoia, to change your mind. The Old Testament definition of repentance in the Hebrew, that word means to turn back. Now, both of those are involved in repentance. I change my mind, and when I change my mind, I change my direction. And if I don't change my mind and change my direction, I haven't repented. And if I don't repent, as Jesus said, unless you repent, you will all likewise perish. Repentance is critical. You must repent in order to be saved. Now, so let's talk about this repenting from sin. First of all, you have to acknowledge your sin, and then you have to turn away from it. I acknowledge it, and I turn away from it. I have to call a spade a spade. I have to call sin, sin. And we don't like to do that today, call sin, sin. Adrian Rogers used to say, and this was years ago, I heard him say, he was talking about the sin of homosexuality, which is just calling homosexuality as a sin in some places, man, they freak out. They'd freak out. They'd say, well, you're a hater. How do you say that? You can't say that. Adrian said this was years ago, decades ago. He said this. He said, for thousands of years, everyone called homosexuality sin. And it was never an issue. We knew that homosexuality was a sin. He said, but what we used to call sin, then we started calling a sickness. And then we changed it and we called it an acceptable lifestyle. And now today, if you don't say that that is good and fine and godly, you are a hater, you're a homophobe, you're the worst person who walks the face of the earth. Listen, you have to acknowledge it. If we say we have no sin, if we say we have not sinned, his truth is not in us, his word is not in us. Abraham Lincoln asked a little boy one day, he said, hey, little boy, how many legs does a dog have? He said, he's got four. And Abe Lincoln said, that's right, but suppose you call his tail a leg, how many legs does he have then? Little boy said, well, then he'd have five. And Abe Lincoln said, no, he'd still only have four. A tail is still a tail, no matter what you call it. Hey, you can take sin and you can say, well, we're going to call it something else so it's not sin anymore. But God is the one who defines sin. And God says what is sin. And the scripture gives the definition in verse 4, everyone who practices sin also practices lawlessness, and sin is lawlessness. Sin is breaking God's law. Sin is this defiance in one's heart that says, I'm going to do what I want to do. That is sin. That's the core of sin. Now remember this, sin is the root. Sins, plural, are the fruit. But all sins come from sin, and sin is lawlessness, and sin says that I don't want to obey the law of God. I want to do what I want to do. When Eve was deceived by the serpent, what was the deception? You eat of this fruit, you will not die. You will be like God, knowing good and evil. And when you're like God, knowing good and evil, you don't need to depend upon God, because you can be your own God and you can do your own thing. And she said, that's what I want. That's what I want. And she took of the fruit and ate it and gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and it wasn't good at all. But that's the core of sin. It's lawlessness. It's a defiance in one's heart that says, as Jesus shared in the parable, Luke 19, we will not have this man rule over us. That is sin. That is sin. And we have to acknowledge it, that we have sin in our hearts. As one man said, you know, man is not a sinner because he sins. He sins because he's a sinner. He's not a thief because he steals. He steals because he's a thief, because there's this root of sin in there that produces all kinds of fruit, bad fruit. And that bad fruit comes from rebellion toward God. So we have to acknowledge it, and then we have to turn away from it. And the reason God gave us the law was to show us that we're sinners. And the Bible says in the book of Galatians that the law has become our tutor to lead us to Christ, because the law says, hey, the soul that sins shall surely die. And the law says, if you commit adultery, you'll die. If you steal, that you're a sinner. And if you keep the whole law yet stumble in one point, you're guilty of all. So the law condemns us. And the law says, man, you're sick, pal. And the wages of sin is death. So we cry out when we understand we're sinners, then we cry out for a savior. Lord, save me. And it shows us our need. We have to acknowledge sin. We have to turn away from sin. Repentance is critical to salvation. And the devil will work to try and confuse people about that concerning sin. And then secondly, true salvation requires heart belief in the Jesus of the Bible. And the devil will work on that. First, he works on the sin side. Oh, you don't have to worry about sin. It's no big deal. It's all about grace. And just get sin out of your mind. God doesn't really matter. He just winks at sin. And so he works on that side. And then he works on the core of the gospel, which is, who is Jesus Christ? And so he blurs the line concerning Jesus, and he preaches a false gospel and another Jesus whom we have not preached.
Well, we're going to pause right there in our lesson for today. Pastor Jeff will return tomorrow and From His Heart to continue the message, Days of Deception, from his series, For Such a Time as This. Make sure that you're with us then. If you miss any broadcast this month, remember, too, that you can always go online and listen again at fromhisheart.org. Click the Listen tab. And there, too, you can download a free MP3 of any broadcast, along with the sermon outline from Pastor Jeff. All of that is free, and you just click the Listen tab to find it. That's fromhisheart.org. There, too, you can also watch the weekly From His Heart television broadcast anytime. It's currently seen in 182 countries around the world and always online. Thank you for joining us today on From His Heart. I'm Larry Nobles, hoping that you'll be back tomorrow for part two of The Days of Deception. That's on Wednesday, when we'll again open up God's Word and share real truth, real love, and real hope from His heart. Scars, real truth, real love, real hope. From His Heart is celebrating 20 years as the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out more. Go to FromHisHeart.org.